Hallelujah. If you don't mind, let's stand and open our Bibles or phones or tablets or wristwatches or whatever it is you're using. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and then we're going to go back and read verses 9 through 14. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You may be seated. Amen. Now I want to go back, read verses 9 through 14. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, Jesus, the great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Praise God, I printed the heading in my verse there. All right. Tonight I'm going to be probably echoing a lot of things that we've heard here in the last several weeks that Pastor Roy has been talking about and others have talked about, and it wasn't that I intended to do that. It wasn't. I didn't say I was going to echo myself. I said I was going to echo what Pastor Roy said. Yeah, that was an accident, right? But I didn't really start out to do that. It wasn't my original intention. I was reading, studying the book of John, and I started there a thought that God opened up in my heart and in my mind, and by the time I got done, I ended up where I'm starting. So I'm going to do it in reverse. I'll be starting where I ended up, and we'll end up where I started from. A lot of this you've already heard, and I may be saying some of the same things that you have heard, but I think I'm saying it in a little different way, not to be different, but because I feel like there are some here that need to hear this word in order to have the faith, to have the confidence, to have comfort to know that God has a plan, that God is calling every one of us to do a work, and that we don't have to accomplish what someone else thinks that God has called us to. We don't have to accomplish even necessarily what we want to do, but we need to find out what God has for us and fulfill and complete that. Oftentimes we read this passage in Hebrews 4:12. We read about the word of God being quick and powerful and getting down in between the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit, and we consider it in light of, oh no, don't hide anything from God because he knows everything. He knows what's going on inside of your heart, and don't try and fool yourself and don't try and fool God. Well, maybe I'm the only one that does that, but we can sometimes apply this passage that way. But I think there's more to it. I think that is part of it. I think we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that you know, it says plainly that there's nothing that is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But I don't believe necessarily that the writer of Hebrews is trying to threaten the people of God, but he's trying to describe our relationship with God. He's trying to, I believe in the context, it's saying that God knows who we are. He knows what's going on inside of us. He understands what makes us tick. Verse 9 talks about the rest that existed for the people of God. And the writer of Hebrews talking about the Old Testament people of Israel and how they were chosen by God to fulfill a purpose, but that somehow, even though they were brought out of Egypt, even though they conquered the land of Canaan, even though they established themselves as a nation, that somehow they did not fulfill the plan of God. They did not reach that place of rest that God had in store for them. And the writer, I'll just say Paul because that's probably who it was. Paul says that there's a rest for the people of God in the New Testament, that we have a rest that's available to us. And that's the context of this passage where Paul then goes on and says, because God knows our heart. He knows our very being. He knows what makes us tick. There's a rest for us. And he wants us to know that he understands who we are, and that if we want to enter into that rest, it will be when we allow him to work in our innermost being. Amen. God closes the thought then by saying, seeing them. Paul says, seeing them because of this, because God knows what's going on inside of us, because God knows there's nothing that we hide from God, he says, let us hold fast our profession. Praise God. And a lot of times we, being Pentecostals, we put things in a doctrinal context. You know, we're going to stand for the truth, and that's good. And we ought to, and we need to. But I think, again, this passage is saying more than just, you know, stand firm for what you believe. I believe it's saying, when it says, hold fast our profession, I think what the writer is saying is that we need to continue to do what we know is right to do. Continue to live the way God has called us to live. But he especially is saying this in the context of we need to live and move and work in the rest that God has given us. Amen. So how do we rest in God? Some people think that means we sit and do nothing. But that's, you know, God will find a way. I'm just waiting for God to move. And all the time the Holy Ghost is saying, move, move, move. God promised I'd be a millionaire. And someday I will, so I'm not worried about all those debts. Faith without works is dead, the scripture says. Hebrews says, let us labor to enter into that rest. That's a strange way to say it in modern vernacular. It means let us be diligent. Let's be careful. I guess the modern terminology would be let's be intentional to enter into that rest. We need to be intentional about making sure that this life we're living, this Christian walk, we're operating in that place of rest in God. Amen. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 6. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? Verse 32, for the nations seek after these things. That means the Gentiles. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. That's what Paul's talking about. Seek first the kingdom of God. Find that place of rest, that place of peace in God, that place of relationship where you know that you are in his will. Seek to do his will, and all these things will be added unto you. And again, it's not just finding a you know, a place under a shade tree and expecting God to do the rest. If we're going to do His will, the Bible tells us to pray, of course, first of all. But the Bible also tells us how to love one another. The Bible tells us how to treat others, how to act towards our boss, how to act towards our parents, how to treat our spouse and our neighbor. If we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, these are the things that the scriptures, that Jesus is talking about. Seek to do the will of God. Seek to do what you know is God's will in your life. What things that the Word already tells us to do. It tells us what kind of attitude we ought to have. Scripture tells us how to manage our money. Scripture tells us how important the church is in our lives. Praise God. Pastor Roy, Sunday night, preached so well about, you know, cleaning out things in our lives so that we can have that unity, that communion that God wants us to have. And it's easy as a church guy to kind of get in a groove, you know. Make sure you're at church, make sure you're at the prayer meeting, make sure you're doing all the things that you're supposed to be doing, but not really letting it get down inside and examining yourself. And somehow the Holy Ghost kind of turned on a spotlight Sunday night, and I realized I was on autopilot. And there's some things I need to clean up. Praise God. Hopefully that's all of our experience. That's what Jesus was talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. First do what you know to do is right, and then all of these things will be added unto you. Well, what about this rest? That all that stuff, that doesn't sound like rest. That sounds like a lot of work. Jesus said this to start out that passage in Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, do not be anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, nor what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? It doesn't say, you know, that we shouldn't be responsible. It says don't be anxious about food and clothing. Behold the birds of the air, for they sow not, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they are? Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? I tried. It doesn't work. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. But I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, he will not much rather clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we be clothed? For the nations, the Gentiles, seek after these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. So the rest that he's talking about is this freedom from fear and anxiety, knowing that God, if I do what God calls on me to do, if I obey the word, if I seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things will be added unto you. I remember when our car had a hole in the floorboard and we had to put stuff on the floor so that the carbon monoxide wouldn't get in and kill us all. I remember paying $250 for a car that lasted for about a week. I have to admit, there was a little bit of anxiety during those times. But God is faithful. God is faithful. I remember one time, I was on a youth committee, and we had to go up to camp, and the speedometer on our Chevy Chevette didn't work. And I had worked all night, really late into the night, and I made my poor wife drive without a speedometer. That may be the only speeding ticket she ever got. Was with... No, it wasn't. There was another one. I remember that one too. Okay. She was keeping a straight face. She was not going to respond. And I just remembered the other one. So that's a different kind of anxiety. But God is faithful. That doesn't mean that, you know, we couldn't lose everything tomorrow. But God promises if we will seek first the kingdom of God that he will, all these things will be added unto you. But it doesn't always happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a moment. Praise God. That's why when they called Dave Ramsey, they're so excited and they about being debt free because it took them time to work out of it. But it's applying the principles of God's word. It's the knowledge that if we seek God's will, that's where the rest comes from. He may not promise to make us rich, but he does promise to meet our needs. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Praise God. That doesn't mean necessarily materially abundant. It means he wants us to have a life worth living. He wants us to have a rich life. Not in necessarily some of us in material things, but that's not the goal. The goal is to have a life with meaning and purpose. Praise God. Yeah, but Brother Seidel, before I came to church, I was a busy guy. I had a lot going on. I was having fun. I did whatever I wanted to do. Now half those things I can't do anymore. But see, that's what Hebrews is talking about. God knows what's inside of us, what's deep down inside, and he knows what will really fulfill us. Those things we do, those pastimes, those exciting things that we fill our life with sometimes are just that. They're just for a moment. And then the weekend's over and we're hungry and thirsty for more. What's the next thrill? What's the next exciting thing? Jesus told the woman at the well, the one that drinks from the living water that I give will never thirst again. Praise God. Psalm 34:8 says, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 84:11 says, For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Ecclesiastes 3:13 says, And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Praise God. God wants to do good things for us. Sometimes we have to go through dry seasons. Sometimes he needs to work off some edges in our life or change some attitudes in us before he can do the things for us that he wants to do. But it comes back to that same thing, that his word gets down to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. Praise God. And that's all of God's blessings flow from his word. I'll say that again. All of God's blessings flow from his word. It's not, I mean, worship is part of our experience, but it's not because we worship in a certain way that God blesses us. It's not because we pray in a certain way that God blesses us. God blesses us because we have a right relationship with him based on his word. Those are elements of a right relationship with God. Worship and prayer, church attendance, all of the things that we do should flow from a relationship based on what the word of God is doing inside of us. That's when we are, that and the Holy Ghost is where we find our rest. The book of Isaiah says, this is the rest and this is the refreshing wherewith I will cause the weary to rest. There's a lot of people reading the Word of God, but it's the Spirit of God that brings life to the Word in us. Which is why we need to be full of the Spirit. For a long time, I didn't quite understand that what that meant. You know, the Bible says there were in Acts 3 and Acts 5, when the apostles were together, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, they were already filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But what that means is that they've allowed the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and activate the power of God in them to the point where their motives, their desires, their attitudes were flowing from the active Word of God inside of them. That's the rest wherewith he causes the weary to rest. When we're not doing it of our own strength, we're not doing it from our own ability, we're not doing it because I'm trying really hard to be good, but because His Spirit is activating the Word in us. This is the rest, and this is the refreshing. Praise God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. And this is where I got started on this whole train of thought. This passage says in verse 2 that He was in the beginning with God. And Trinitarians take it and they say, see, there's a second person. But that's not really what it says. It's not saying that there's a second person. What it means there doesn't mean that there was someone alongside of God. It means that it was the very nature of God. It was integral with God. The Word of God was inseparable from God. That's what it means. It means that when you spoke of, when the Word of God was present, God was present. Because you can't have the Word of God without the presence of God. They were inseparable. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. It wouldn't make sense any other way. There's no separation. So when God's Word is at work in us, it's God Himself. It's His Holy Spirit at work in us. That's the Word that was made flesh in Jesus Christ. Praise God. That which pertained to God is what one writer said. It's similar to the thought in Colossians that says, in Him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's no separating the Word of God from God Himself. And as a result, Jesus Christ was the Word, God Himself, manifest in the flesh. God expressed Himself in human form. And that human, Jesus Christ, was inseparable from the very God. He was God and man. That's why Jesus said, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. My Father and I are one. Amen. Jesus, in John 8, was speaking to the Jews, and they were questioning Him. And He said to them, verse 58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Praise God. Now, this is maybe just one of those things that I get excited about, but the word where He said before Abraham was, you know, in the English language, the word was, is, am, those are all the same word. They come from the same root. They're just different tenses of the same word. I am, I are. No, I'm just kidding. They speak of existence. 4 years ago, I couldn't even spell graduate. Now I are one. But the words here are different. Jesus said before Abraham was, that's a different word than the phrase that he used when he said, I am. And we know that there when he uses the word I am, he's using a phrase that indicates he's the I am that I am that spoke to Moses. But what was awakening to me today was that when I read that it's like he's holding the two terms up against each other. Before Abraham was, before Abraham came into being. It's a different phrase. It was like he was made. He came on the scene. Before Abraham came on the scene, Jesus said, I was already there. And the phrase that he's using is a phrase that indicates eternal existence. So the point I'm making is that Jesus was telling these people, the Jews that he was speaking to, they were considering themselves the children of Abraham, and as a result that they were somehow above the word of God. And the word was speaking to them, and he said, listen, you're resting your hope on Abraham, but before he came into existence, I already was. He came on the scene, but I am eternally existent. God wants us to understand that even though we're here living this life and struggling with our daily activities and maybe the trials of life, he's eternal. And he was manifest in the flesh. The word of God was manifest in the flesh in Jesus Christ, but the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 that not only did he come in the form of a man in Jesus Christ, but that his word will get down inside of us. And that eternal perspective, that power that created the universe can work in us and through us and be manifest in our flesh, in our life, in our existence. God wants to bring us into full being. He wants us to become who he has planned for us to be by manifesting his word in our life. Praise God. That's why so many of us now are being confronted with these challenges in our life. We're being confronted with challenges of ministry. We're feeling the call of God. We're feeling the pull of God. We're being challenged by the Holy Ghost to commit ourselves. Because God's trying to manifest his word in our life. He's trying to give us that eternal perspective. And the problem is that too often when we feel that, we decide, well, I have to work harder. I have to do this. I have to do that. And we try to do it in our own strength. But the Bible says that the way to manage that is to be full of the Holy Ghost and to let the Word of God be manifest in our hearts and in our minds. Abraham was part of God's plan from the beginning. And that's actually what the word in John means. The word was made flesh. That really means the plan became manifest. Abraham was part of that plan. And Jesus was telling them that Abraham, your father, would not even ever existed if it wasn't for me. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the word of God. God has a plan for your life. And the only way it's going to be completed is if we surrender our strength, our will, our purpose, our desires to his will in prayer and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Before we existed, he had a plan for us. See, Abraham responded by faith. He made some mistakes. He had some big, as Pastor Roy said, big boo-boos. He had some big mistakes, but he kept walking. He kept seeking God's will. But Israel didn't. Israel did not trust in God. They did not obey his word. They tried to fulfill righteousness by their own works. That's a danger for us as children of God, that we try to do the will of God in the flesh and not according. We think this is what I, sometimes we get in our mind, this is what I want to be, this guy. I want to have that position. I want to do that work. When in fact, maybe God's trying to, we struggle with things sometimes. Oh, I got to find my call. I got to find my call. I got to find my call. Romans says the word is nigh thee. The word is near you, even in your mouth. What does that mean? It means that you already have the word of God. Live it. Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word will reveal to us. That's what Hebrews is saying in Hebrews 4:12, that God, not only does he get down inside of us to show us what we need to do and what we need to change, but at the same time that's happening, Jesus Christ is revealing himself to us. So don't seek your call. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. Boy, I felt that. Let's lift our hands. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We can't do it in our own strength. Doesn't matter how gifted you are. Praise God. That's why he gives us the word, because it's only by his word manifest in us that his will can be complete. And that's why he gives us his spirit, because we can't do what he wants in the flesh. If we want all these things to be added unto us, then first we must seek God. I'll add one verse that I didn't put on the list, John 1:18. You can stand. If we obey his word, if we seek his face, if we're full of the Holy Ghost, it will get down in our hearts, into our bones, into our marrow, and it will be a natural outcome. The call of God on our lives. What is God's will? Well, start in the word. What is my call? Do what God puts in your hand. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Pray. Seek his face. Follow and obey his word. John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Again, not a Trinitarian verse. It's that same idea. That the man, the Christ Jesus, was so close and so much the same as the invisible God that he was inseparable from him. I want to get to that place where I'm so inseparable from God that I don't have to worry about his call. I don't have to worry about, am I doing the right thing? But I can rest from all of my anxiety and worry and know that I'm in the will of God and I'm doing what he's called me to do. Praise God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let His Word get in you, down inside. Yeah, reveal the weakness. Reveal the failure. Reveal the sin. But at the same time, He's going to reveal Himself to you. And you will know better His will. That's when we are filled with the Spirit. Praise God. If you want to recommit to God, it's a good time to do it. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God wants to fill you with His Spirit tonight. If you don't know what that means, we can pray with you and help you understand. When He fills you up, it's going to come out in a flow of emotion, maybe laughter, maybe joy, maybe tears, but somehow you're going to feel the presence of God flowing through you. And in a moment, you can be speaking in another language that you never knew, because God will be filling you up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Praise God. Why don't you come and pray? Why don't you come and let God speak to your heart once again, in Jesus' name.